Could Russia default on its debt today? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Russia is due to pay over $100 million in interest payments to investors today, but may not make those deadlines. It comes after the war in Ukraine and the subsequent financial sanctions have hampered the country's ability to use international banking mechanisms to move money around. Timothy Ash is an economist at Blue Bay Asset Management. I asked him if Russia does actually have the money to pay what's known as coupons.
Well, they have the money in theory. Russia had $650 billion in foreign exchange reserves before the intervention in Ukraine or the war in Ukraine. What happened was the West sanctioned Russia's foreign exchange reserves. It managed to capture around half that, and Russia is hiding the other half. Now, in theory, it can't pay from the money that's frozen. It, in theory, can pay from the money that's unfrozen. And actually, if you think about it, OFAC, which is the US Treasury's Office for Financial Control, could argue that once they unhide the money to pay this coupon, it should be subject to sanction and captured by the US Treasury. So that's one reason why they shouldn't be able to pay this money, because it should be capturable by the Treasury. In theory, they have the money to pay.
What actually does that mean if a country goes into default? What is the significance of this?
It's like if you don't pay your credit card bill on time, in effect, it damages your credit worthiness. International markets will remember for a very long time that Russia was not able to make the payments. Russia's credit ratings were already trashed. They will be very slow to recover, but Russia will be penalized for a long time to come by having much more limited access to international markets to borrow.
Is it fair to say, though, that because its credit ratings were so low anyway, this particular default, if it does happen, would not make that much difference?
Well, in the short term, not. But in the long term, I think it does. OFAC, the Office of Financial Control of the US Treasury, was proven able to force Russia into default. Russia will only be able to come out of default when the US Treasury says it will be able to. Russia will remain in default likely for a very long period of time, probably as long as a decade.
Timothy Ash at Blue Bay Asset Management, thank you. Let's do the numbers for you now. And Pakistan's stock market has jumped over 2% on opening. It's down to the government's move to withdraw fuel subsidies, which could now pave the way for additional IMF funding. And shares in the Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba surged 12% on better than expected earnings. To Poland now, where the lower house of parliament has voted to abolish a controversial disciplinary body for judges, which the EU has said is undermining judicial independence. Now, the move is among the conditions the European Commission wants Poland to fulfil before it unblocks billions of dollars worth of COVID recovery funds. Adam Easton reports.
Established in 2018, the Supreme Court Disciplinary Chamber is particularly controversial because it has the power to sanction judges not only for their behaviour, but also for the content of their judgments. Several prominent judges who have been critical of the government's judicial reforms have been suspended. The European Commission refused to approve Poland's National Recovery Plan funds until the chamber was abolished. For months, the government said it would do so, without taking action. It appears now to have realised that in this case, actions speak louder than words.
Adam Easton there. Now, depending on your age, you may have a different attitude to risk when it comes to investing. For example, around 94% of all crypto buyers are between 18 and 40. They grew up in a digital world where moving money is a click away. But in such a volatile market, why do so many of them think that the risk is worth the reward? The BBC's Asia Business correspondent Mariko Oi investigates.
A lot of youngsters nowadays, they just jump in. My advice to them is don't be like me, you know. Don't be greedy or big-headed, thinking that, well, you're God, you know, you make so much money without any knowledge.
Kelvin Kong got into crypto early and soon made around $360,000. But in 2018, it crashed and he lost everything.
I think I almost went into depression. I did have suicide thoughts.
A cautionary tale for those who make up Generation Z, the single biggest group putting money in NFTs and coin. They grew up online, playing games, meeting friends. And making money for these digital natives is just a click away. With time on their hands during the pandemic, more of them studied the crypto space, like Singapore student Joella Lim.
So I only entered crypto last year, as I said, and it really kind of spun my life around. For me, I could live day to day. But when I got exposed to the crypto opportunities, right now I got way more financial freedom.
The coin market is mostly unregulated, meaning no consumer protection. Many see it as gambling. It's a world that can easily draw you in, as Resh Chandran, a financial educator, can testify.
The crypto market never sleeps, right? Like, you know, the stock market, at least it's, you know, 9:30 to 5 p.m. and whatever. And the crypto market is 24/7. It never sleeps and people literally get sucked into it.
In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Marika Oi for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.